Proverbs 18 and verses 1 to 4. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. And our theme is single-mindedness in the right thing. Single-mindedness in the right thing. The Apostle Paul tells us that it is good to be zealously affected in a good thing. Zeal can be good or bad. We can be zealous in evil, as we've been horrifically reminded in recent events. Men can be zealous and, as the world calls it, sincere in that which is wicked and abominable to God. But then, on the other hand, we should be zealously affected in a good thing. And we must ask ourselves, what is the good thing? Well, it's zeal for the Lord. It's zeal for his honor and glory. And to be zealously affected in that, in desiring the glory of God on earth, that is to be zealously affected in a good thing. And that zeal we cannot have too much of. But we all have a motive. There is, in all of us, a reason why we keep going. We all have a good or bad motive for keeping going day by day. These verses look at the motivation of the wicked and then compare it with the godly. First, the self-opinionated fool. The self-opinionated fool. Verse 1. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Now, this is a difficult verse to translate, that must be acknowledged. Some take it in a good sense, that to be single-minded in the pursuit of the true wisdom is indeed to be zealous for a good thing. But the word intermeddle here, the particular Hebrew word, is only used in Proverbs 17 and verse 14, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water, therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with. And in chapter 20 and verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. And although the English word meddle is used to translate other words, these are places where the exact word is used, and the usages are in a bad sense. It is meddling in a bad sense. And the margin of our authorized version says, he that separateth himself seeketh according to his desire and intermeddleth with every business. In which case, the thought would be along this line. he separates from others and does not listen to others and is so full of pride as to be completely independent, and yet claiming independent originality, he fulfills his real desire, which is to show his cleverness by intermeddling with every business. So the idea is of a man who doesn't listen, but who speaks on everything. He listens to no one, but he has an opinion nonetheless on everything. His main purpose is to show how clever he is himself. If you are like this, and even if the thought of the form of it is different, if your main concern is to come out of every situation well and to show yourself well, to show that you are your own man and to hold men in admiration, to have the praises of men, then you have learned nothing. It is because you have never been humbled by the grace of God. Men who think they need to be told nothing are men who are wise in their own conceits. The Lord himself says, "Hearken diligently unto me." Hearken diligently unto me. Incline your ear and hear, and your soul shall live and delight itself in fatness. If you want to be told anything, if that really is your disposition of heart, that nobody has anything to tell you, then how will you ever receive the gospel? The wicked, through his pride of face, upon God doth not call. Psalm 10, verse 4. We need to be told, first of all, by the Lord. Have you learned of him? Have you stopped talking and listened for long enough to be taught by the Lord? He tells you that he made you. He will judge you. You're a sinner. Christ is the only Savior. You need a heart change, which only he can give, and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to your everlasting salvation. Have these things entered into your heart and mind? Or have you been too busy saying what you think about anything and everything? Those who have been taught of the Lord love to be in the company of God's people and to learn from the people of God. Psalm 119:63, "I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts." So then, does the refusal to be told extend even to God himself? You won't listen to man, you won't listen to God. If that is so, there needs to be a change. Secondly, the source of the fool's knowledge. The source of the fool's knowledge. Verse 2. "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." He has no delight in understanding, in really getting to grips with anything. he doesn't really want to know. Like Pilate, he's confronted with the ultimate question, what is truth? And he shrugs his shoulders. He doesn't want to know. And every occasion is simply a venue to show what he thinks he knows. A fool had no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. The idea is that his heart may show what is there. So every occasion is simply a venue for self-aggrandizement. And we see that in the world, but sometimes it finds its way into the church. But this principle is amply illustrated in the European reaction to the terrible murders of Friday night, where in all the official European reaction was there an acknowledgement of God. Where in all the European reaction was there an acknowledgement that we might not have the answers. Where in all the talk was there a realistic reassessment of Islam that we might actually have got it wrong. In darkness they walk on. The same platitudes, although no doubt was genuine grief and sorrow, but no dependence on God, no return to the gospel. We have the answers, and we must take the opportunity for the heart to discover itself, to bring its wares to the surface, to show what great diplomats we are. Well, the real answer is the gospel. The best weapon the Western nations ever had was the gospel, but they despise it. So verse 2 amply is illustrated in an international scale. A fool had no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. No reassessment of the fundamental principles, no questioning of what Islam is really like, no necessity for biblical Christianity, quite the reverse. We'll sort it out for ourselves. Well, we won't. But it applies individually. Are you a pursuer of real knowledge? Are you rather a man who wants to show how much he thinks he knows? Are you a learner? First of all, of the Lord. Christ said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And you listen to the godly, to their counsel, because you've learned not to trust yourself, but the Lord. Thirdly, the wrong comparison. The wrong comparison. Verse 3. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. When the wicked comes, he pours contempt upon others, and with his ignominy, his shame, comes reproach of others. He pours shame and reproach upon others. This is a description of the wicked. Why is he so keen to pour contempt on others? Pride and self-righteousness, a favorable comparison with others, flatters the pride and boosts his self-righteousness. That's what it's all about. The world is full of self-righteousness. Not all, like the Pharisees, go in for religious parade, but nevertheless, everyone, by nature, likes to compare himself with others and come off with flying colours. That's our nature. Has grace changed that, so that we no longer compare ourselves with others or with our invented standard, but with God's standard? And as sinners, we call upon the Lord. You see, you can always find someone to favorably compare yourself with. There is always someone who is, or at least seems to be, worse than you. And therefore, you can find someone to say, well, I don't do that, and you can pour contempt on other people. Job's friends, they wanted suffering to be a barometer of evil, because they were not suffering. So of course they did. They'd come out of it well. Never mind Job, oh, he's a secret hypocrite, he's wicked, he's... But that's all right. Their presence, though was meant to be sympathy for Job, but it was, in the end, a real pat on the back for themselves until God spoke. By God's standard, there is none righteous, no, not one. All stand in need of the righteousness of Christ. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. All have sinned. Never mind comparing yourself with anyone else. The standard is God's law, God's required perfection, and we are 1,000 miles from it. If you are suffering from the delusion that you are righteous, you must forsake your thoughts. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Your very thoughts that your wretched life is acceptable to God, that very thought is offensive to God and increases your guilt. You must abandon it all and come as a hell-deserving sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, edification from the wise. Edification from the wise. Verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. This is describing the wise man. He may not be the biggest talker, but what he has to say is worth listening to, because his heart is like a well of fresh water, or like a steady flow of clean water. This can only be by the teaching of God. No one is wise unless God makes them wise. He is the all-wise God. That means that wisdom comes from him. You have that in James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not in wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Here's a man who claims he wants wisdom and who says prayers for God to give him wisdom, but he's not sure if he really wants to know, because he's really rather attached to his sin, and that makes him unstable. He wants his sin. He wants to do some particular thing. He wants God to confirm it. But if he asks for real wisdom and he was given it, it would show him that he shouldn't do what he wants to do. And so he doesn't really ask at all. He goes through the motions of asking wisdom from God, but he's unstable and double-minded. He's not sure he really wants to know. He'd like to go on just as he is, or doing what he wants to do. That man shall receive nothing of the Lord. If you want wisdom, if you want guidance, if you want direction as to how you should go, the first necessary thing is integrity of heart before God. If that is absent, all the rest is futile. If you don't really want to know, and you want God to confirm you in what you want to do, then don't come to God and ask him for wisdom. What you want is self-justification. But the man who asks for wisdom because he genuinely wants to serve the Lord, and he really is perplexed about what is pleasing to the Lord, that man will receive wisdom from the Father of lights. So wisdom comes from God. And as we've said many, many times, the opposite of God-given wisdom, the fear of the Lord, is foolishness. And that is why we are a nation and a continent of fools, because there is no fear of the Lord. How can it be otherwise? How can you expect anything but foolishness from men who don't want the Lord? But those who receive wisdom, like the man in the text, their wisdom is like a stream. It is of help to others. The principal of 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. If we learn of God, not only is it good in itself, we might actually be of some use to other people. Those who are made wise by the Lord are worth listening to. If we're wise enough to listen to the wise, we'll get wiser. But the application is very simple and very basic. It comes down to this. Is what you believe, and what you tell others you believe perhaps, a vision of your own heart, or is it out of the mouth of the Lord? Have you received wisdom and like precious faith in the Lord Jesus, so that you've actually got something to say worth hearing? Or is it all just a display of how clever you are? You can't help others unless you first receive wisdom from God. Have you received God's word? Have you been taught of God that you're a sinner? Have you been taught of God that Christ is the only Saviour, that he bore the sin of many, that he died the just for the unjust? Have you come to him? Have you been made willing in a day of the Lord's power to trust in the Lord Jesus without money and without price? When we have the joy of God's salvation, then will I treat transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Are you then a real Christian? Are you truly wise? Are you worth hearing from because you know whom you have believed? Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we pray that thou wilt grant the blessing of thy Spirit, that which has been spoken of thy truth might enter into all our hearts, and that we might receive the word with all meekness. Grant that we might all be wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, and that we might grow wiser day by listening to thy word, by hearing those who fear thee and who will encourage us in the right way. Look upon us, O God, grant thy blessing, bless the word to our hearts, forgive all our sins and accept us, for Christ's sake. Amen.